MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. Chatting with Shiomagini, he's director at 91 Investment Institute. Shio, you'll appreciate the time again today. A fascinating research report out by you and your colleagues. Over the last two decades, US companies have been buying back more stock than they've been issuing. In other words, the pool of shares has literally been shrinking. What's been available to investors? This is astounding numbers. I'd never thought of it. Intuitively, when you say it, it makes some sense. But this must also have an impact on investable returns. A shrinking pool, more money chasing, less shares, supply and demand.
Yeah, thanks, Simon. Really good to be speaking with you. Yeah, so when people talk about the impact of AI on the equity market, they frequently go into the technology, you know, what is the end state return on invested capital and so on. We have tackled it from a slightly different perspective, which is what is the impact of all the share issuance that's coming onto the market? Now, we all know that in the past, you know, 10 years, 15 years, really since the GFC, we have had very strong net buybacks. And the buybacks have contributed to returns in the equity market. And that's why the equity market returns have been so consistent. And now that process is reversing. So that's quite significant.
And there are a couple of points. I mean, we're seeing with the CapEx spend, we're seeing some of the buybacks disappear. We're also seeing these mega IPOs, SpaceX already out there, Anthropic and OpenAI potentially both coming, potentially about $1 billion. We've got Alphabet who actually issued script as well. We're suddenly seeing not an avalanche, but a lot more stock coming to market. In other words, increasing the amount that's available.
Yeah, that's right. It's a massive amount. Figures that we have at the moment are about 4 trillion within the next 3 years. Yeah. And keep in mind that the IPOs, when they initially happen, are usually on lowish floats. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is over a period of 1 to 2 years, you get exits from the insiders. And that's why you see a process where, you know, the amount of float goes up by 5 or 6 times within that span of time. So what is starting today is actually going to continue drip, drip, drip to at least 2028. And, you know, that should play an impact on the returns.
Were you able to quantify sort of what level of return the market got from the shrinking pool of issuances?
Yeah, that's right. So in the last decade, you know, if you take in repurchases, issuance, and, you know, take a net figure, you get a 0.7% improvement to returns from de-equitization. We think that with the IPOs that are coming out, you're going to get a negative 4% impact over a period of time. And that is as significant as the numbers you saw in the late 90s. So, you know, a lot of institutional asset managers, they will start from future returns. And the future returns for the US equity market were already relatively low because of the high starting valuation. So our numbers are around 3%. So if suddenly you get a negative impact of 4% because you're expecting what happened in the 90s, that wipes out all your expected return. You know, it's not a certainty. These companies could do very, very well.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is the last time we have seen this level of issuance, you got a pretty bad outcome. So convince me, please, this time is different.
I like that. And to be clear, we're not calling a market top by any stretch. In a sense, you're kind of asking the question, and it's what you said in that last conclusion there, which is where do the returns come for the next decade in US equities? And it's becoming a harder question to answer. To your point, we're at extremely elevated levels, which usually tell us the next decade's not great. You bring this into the equation, it starts to bring some really hard questions into where are those returns?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the one reason you don't want to be calling the top is because you could be a 97 instead of 2000, right? So you've still got three more years to go. Yeah, another reason is that you've still got a huge amount of issuance that's coming through. You know, I think the SpaceX issuance was less than 10% of the float. That should go up massively over time. And the third reason is, you know, maybe this time is different and maybe these companies are just incredibly super profitable. And, you know, all the capital that's being deployed is going to earn this kind of excess returns. However, what you can definitely know at this point is that, you know, the operational earnings better deliver because you've suddenly got a massively increased capital base, you know, which is expecting a return on that equity. Mm-hmm. So the hurdle has been raised. Just in the same way, if a company issued shares, you would make sure it was getting some kind of return for that share issuance, right?
Yeah.
So it's exactly the same thing at the index level.
Yeah, no, 100%. So then a last question, a conversation I've had with you, your colleagues, other guests on this show, is the emerging market versus developed market debate. And the tilt has been shifting towards emerging markets, although it's been a wild year. South Korea, SK Hynix, I mean, I didn't see that coming in the EM space. But this kind of plays into that EM preferred over DM debate.
Yeah, so I mean, EM is incredibly resilient. You know, you've seen yields go up in the US, and actually EM yields have been pretty steady. So I think the story in EM is real resilience. I think what is potentially happening now is the performance of non-US over US. Mm. So that includes EM, but it includes other countries as well. And you saw that happen last year, where actually the US equity market, despite doing really well, actually underperformed Europe, underperformed East Asia. Yeah. So I think that could very well continue, just given the starting points and given the fact that, you know, a lot of the AI supply chain is actually in Asia, in EM, and given the fact that if this technology is as revolutionary as it looks, it will start to impact a lot of companies that don't seem like tech companies in the first place, right? It should transform the small, medium-sized, you know, restaurant booking system. It should transform a variety of other industries that are in the market. So that will have an impact on Europe. It will have an impact on EM. It'll have an impact on Asia.
I'll leave it there. Shumantini, he's a director, 921 Investment Institute. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.